Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, come on, I can't even watch the game. Play, this is not a watch party.
Watch party? Who said party? As in party party.
Let's check the replay.
This What Really Happened replay is brought to you by Progressive. One thing no one would challenge, protecting your home and auto with Progressive.
My bad.
Can pull forward a touch.
Hope he's got Progressive.
Sorry, that topiary came out of nowhere.
Hey, everybody. If you want to have a watch party with more videos like this, click over here.
And keep the guest list under 100.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to some service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Can I, will I ever love you? Why then can't I? Maybe others want you just like I do. Tell me, why then can't I? You might have known others, so have I, who would hurt you and desert you. That's why I only want to hold you always.
Genius Shampoo with Jetty. Soul Genius Shampoo with Jetty. J.
J-E-I-D-E, 8-track, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in 516-453-9133. And press 1 to join in the conversation brought to you by NGOZ Time, Multimedia. Tonight's conversation revolves around the concepts of being mommy's son. No. It's more than just being a child. Being mommy's son. Sunshine, brilliance, radiance, the warmth, and the woman who helped to bring you into the lively atmosphere of flesh reality as we know it. Veins, artery, muscle, tendons, bones, into the vessel that we inhabit. The payback for every man child. I can't even say payback. Can never pay back your mother. But what we are forever indebted to, as far as how to honor life after death. So tonight's question is, what does stillness mean to you? We'll get into that. So, July 31st, 2021, my mother transitioned. A few weeks before then, let's just say a couple, she was in the ICU for about 2-3 weeks. You know, they tell you that when somebody's in a comatose state or somebody is, you know, still having certain consciousness in the awareness and the mindfulness of being here on this, in this realm, if you will, to a certain degree, that it helps them by talking to them. So I would go in daily and talk with my mom. A lot of times I was too hurt to meet, you know what I'm saying, to be having conversations, if you will, but I would talk as much as I could, let her know that I'm here. I remember one day I divulged that I, some people might call it relapse, but just letting her know that I slipped back into the ways that she wasn't too proud of or appreciative of, you know, just as far as substance abuse, not even abuse, but just using, because I went from substance abuse to being able to use them as tools, if you will. If you know, you know. I figured that is the most authentic and genuine way for me to keep my mother in the loop of honesty, being that I already told her in her conscious and awakened state a couple years prior, that led to a whole rehabilitation and therefore a new chapter that opened up between us. So I figured, you know, as above, so below. If I'm able to tell you in your waking state the truth of the matter, I should be able to tell you when you're quote-unquote under. I've always been a fan of keeping the same energy, you know. I respect that. It doesn't have to be something I like to respect it. I run with the theory of like and respect are two different things. You can like somebody, but you ain't got to respect them. And you can respect somebody, but you ain't got to like them. I hang my hat heavy on respect. So my mother transitioned. It was something that was important, imperative to me in terms of making sure that I move in such a way that even if my mom didn't like it, she respected it. Because in her waking moments, in her waking parts of this end chapter, just as far as the physical, you know, because life does continue, there were things that I told her in my divulging of the truth that she didn't like, things that I told her, well, listen, because I'm at this age, because I'm on this path, because I'm taking this walk, these are, you know, paths in which I will continue to walk. She didn't really appreciate that too much, you know, but adults in parenthood, man. I know I'm going to reach mine too with my daughter when she grows up. She's going to tell me some things I don't really appreciate, or I don't really like, I should say. I will appreciate it, but I won't really like it. But, you know, I don't think it's for us parents to really like when our children tell us certain things that don't fall within the branch of acceptance and permission and, you know, clearance, if you will, as far as how we raise them. But that's a part of the learning and living process. As long as that you keep certain morals and principles that we instill within you so that you can move in such a way that you don't hurt anybody and don't get hurt yourself, you know. Be a productive member of society and not a cancer. It's the best we can ask for. It's interesting now that I stand or sit right here, actually, you know, as I sit in front of my next piece to paint and complete for my brother. Shout out to Kang and his closing ceremony, in which there's a couple of my pieces that's in the installation in Germantown right now. And as I work on this piece and as I talk with you people, it's interesting being at this vantage of still grieving, but enough over the hump of the immediate grief that the urgency of duty is apparent, screams. These are the things that call to mind in every woman what womanhood really is, and in every man what manhood truly is. Times like these, you put the games away real quick, or you don't indulge in them as much as you had before because luxuries are gone. But it's also important that in times like these, no matter how urgent situations may be, no matter how extremely, deeply graviously, if you will, a circumstance calls for you to be present and for you to be on your duty, that you're not overwhelmed by it. It is to no one's advantage. It is to no one's assistance. It is to no one's help. It's being put in a pressurized situation causes a person to result actions in a panicky, less conscious and less mindful means of contributing to the solution. Because at this point, we're putting more formulas in the pot than we're actually looking for equations. The sum of the matter. What happens right at the equal sign or left at the equal sign, depending on where the formula is, for my mathematicians out there. There always has to be a part of your spirit. There always has to be a part of your person that remains anchored in beliefs, in God, in who you are, who you've always been, and who you are continuously grooming yourself and being groomed by the Creator to be. But we'll get more into that right now. You know, last time I got smacked up by my man Black, huh? I didn't really appreciate that. But, you know, big bro, right? I almost went so far into these talks without giving love, acknowledgement to my wife, my beautiful wife and her company. My auntie's up. I am broke, I won't do that. I told you since the last time. If you want to introduce your wife, just introduce your wife. I am broke, I won't do, eh? Listen, I'm not going to take much more of your time. My little brother here, one talk about all the things that you want to talk about stillness and things like that. You want stillness? Eh? Put the pause on your TV or VCR. Eh? Put the pause on it. Everything is still until you're ready to press play. All right. My aunt is a apothecary. MyAuntiesApothecarie. If you can't spell it, then make sure that you go to WBNN, Beverly Nation, on the blogtalkradio.com. Press the rewind until you hear my little mouth. Eh? My aunt is a apothecary. The best tea that you will ever have in your life. And if you don't believe me, then go ahead and make sure that you look up Ava Alley of the WBNN Beverly Nation. Tune in to Ava Alley. Casual chat. Get to know her. And let her know how she liked the tea from a little brother or wife. Boom, oh, lad. MyAuntiesApothecary.com. Come on back here, little one.
Man.
Hey, bro, listen, man. We civilized over here, man. You ain't. You just gonna walk away from me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Blocker, aka Block. My brother, I love him. He's gonna do whatever he's gonna do, but he's gonna keep things moving, shaking, grooving, rolling in the right direction. With that being said, track next by International Internet. Interbarricade Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Lifetime Achiever. Goodness, how many accolades. DJ Oleski.
It takes an earthquake to move a mountain. It takes a typhoon to churn up the sea. But what does it take to make you take to me? It takes a heat wave to melt an iceberg. It takes a blossom to bother a bee. But what does it take to make you take to me? You could have your way. You could have the moon. Anything you say, only say it soon. When you're around, it takes a feather to knock me over. It takes a nitwit to tell you I'm free. 'Cause baby, I'm just your humble servant, making this fervent plea. What does it take to make you take to me? A feather to knock me over. It takes a nitwit to tell you I'm free. 'Cause baby, I'm just your humble servant, making this fervent plea. 'Cause what did it take to make you take to me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. DJ Oladele Oladski. This is Soul Genius Shampoo on WBNN, Beverly Nation. Call in to tune in and talk your talk with me at 516-453-7000. 9133. And the question for tonight is, what does stillness mean to you? I've walked through many, many doorways, many corridors, vestibules, ballrooms, every type of room and every type of architecture you could think of. As the analogy lays with life and being able to grow and mature and experience it. Been through many. I recall in 2018, August 25th, 2018, it was a Friday. One of the most pivotal days of my life. My mother was on dialysis. She was seeing her associates. I wouldn't necessarily call them friends, but, you know, 3 days a week, you're going anywhere. You're going to network. You're going to get to know people. You're going to talk with them. You're going to get to know them. So 6 years of dialysis and seeing people around her drop like flies because they couldn't receive the kidneys. To any human mind, it would register that I'm next. We received two phone calls over the course of 6 years meant to be kidneys. Every time we would try to put our clothes on or it would be a missed call or something. It wasn't for us. The second time we missed the opportunity, my mother shortly after sat me down and told me that she was tired. She had no interest in the rigmarole of the kidney lottery. She was done with it. It broke me. I know I said some encouraging words to her so that she could keep the faith, but I know my mother to be a strong woman. Anytime somebody who is strong gets to the point that they speak that from their mouth, what they're going through is beyond recognition, beyond imagination. I figured that God blessed me with the gift of gab, wordplay, and just words in general. And I've been poo-putting for far too long with writing my book, my memoir. I started writing that night. Might have been the next day, in fact, because I do remember distinctly at sunrise, I was writing at the window of my bedroom and seeing, you know, sunshine peer in and give me the light necessary for me to just write with a Sharpie marker in one hand and sketching paper right on my bed, you know. And it wasn't important to me how it would look. I was scribbling like a madman. I was just writing things down. At the point, to me, I convinced myself to say, I need to start. It doesn't necessarily matter what I'm saying. I can't hinder myself with sitting down and trying to figure out what I'm going to say. I just need to say it. I wrote for 3 days after my mother sat me down for that confession. And after 3 days, on Friday, August 25th, 2018, it might be 24th. I have to check my calendar. But it was a Friday. We were getting ready. 5 going to 6 o'clock. Because at 6 o'clock, the transportation comes to pick up my mom to take her off to dialysis. She liked going there early, so when she come back, she has the rest of the day for herself. You know, I'm like my mom in that way. You know, even at the job, you know, I wake up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning so I can get there 6 o'clock so I can leave and have the rest of the day. I can't close. that's too depressing for me. But upon us getting ready and transportation coming to pick us up, we received a phone call. We received a phone call that told us that unfortunately somebody met their demise, and theirs was a match to my mom. She was right there on the list, and the kidney was waiting, and we needed to hurry up if we wanted to get it. I told my mom this, and she said, "What do you want to do?" Needless to say, we didn't go to dialysis that morning. We went straight to the hospital. My mother received the kidney. I say this story to say that 6 long, arduous years before my mother received the kidney, with more downs than ups. For all my listeners out there who has ever taken care of somebody who has been ill, sick, health complications, most especially a person dealing with renal failure, it's a different world. You know that. To be able to sustain for 6 years in that world without allowing the evils to completely consume you, it's a different type of faith, and it's a different type of strength associated with that. And even when it was getting to my mom was still a child of God. She still believed in God. She still believed in Christ. She never gave that up. She was just giving up all the rigmarole and the politics and the systems. She was growing tired of that. She never grew tired of her faith. I get that from my mom. Stillness, people. There's a movie on YouTube, 40 Years of Hip Hop, if I'm not mistaken. It's by the great KRS-One. Knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everyone. And he talks about, you know, this Illuminati nonsense and just secret society jive. And not to say that it doesn't exist, but what I'm saying is this. It flies into something that, a gem, I should say, that the brother, I believe he's a doctor and a reverend, Miles Monroe, said, as far as God gives you the vision, but he does give you the destination. Because if you knew where you were going, you would turn back around and you would run the other way. But he gives you a glimpse of what it is that's promised for you, that's meant to strengthen your character, that's meant to transform you into something more, someone 6 years. Hey, man, I know people that can't even do a month of a resolution when the new year kick off, let alone doing 6 years of anything. And 6 years of struggle, pain, and hurt at that. It's different. 6 years of getting your blood taken out of your body, washed, and put back in, which means that some days, most days, more times than not, you're coming home sick. You're coming home nauseous, headaches, fatigue, fatigue, unable to do damn near anything. Energy zapped. 3 times a week, you can look forward to this. So that means that the days in between is basically your body resting itself up however it can to prep for the next day. It's not even a break, if you will. It's just a part of the system at this point. 6 years. What does stillness mean to you? How long are you willing to suffer for your manifestations to come in order? How long are you willing to endure before the sunshine breaks through the crowd? The clouds, the rain, the sleet and snow, once again. What does stillness mean to you? Track next by international DJ legend Dr. Ngozi. Mm-hmm.
You smile when we parted. It hurt me somehow. I thought there was nothing worthwhile. The tables are turning and you're crying now, while I am just learning to smile. Oh, sorry now. Sorry now, whose heart is aching for breaking each vow? Who's sad and blue? Who's crying too? Just like I cried over you. Right to the end, just like a friend, I tried to warn you somehow. You had your way, now you must pay. I'm glad that you're sorry now. Forget how you shattered all my ideals. You smiled when I told you that you would regret, and now you know just how it feels. Right to the end, just like a friend, I tried to warn you somehow. You had your way, now you must pay. I'm glad that you're sorry, glad that you're sorry. I'm glad that you're sorry now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Soul Genius Shampoo on WBNN, Beverly Nation. Call in, tune in, and jump in on the conversation. 516-453-9133. And press 1 to join in. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. The question for the evening. What does stillness mean to you? Is it standing still? Is it waiting? Is it apprehension? Or is it calculation? Is it submitting to a higher power, knowing that your life is not written by your hands? Or is it you biding your time before you manifest destiny yourself? What does stillness mean to you? I find oftentimes when I force things, they never work to my favor. Yeah, the product, the results, ends up finding a certain level of completion, sure. But the rush is what tunnel visions the journey and focuses only on the destination. And if you know that the journey is what makes you who you are. The destination is already presupposed, it's already preordained. Put it to you like this. Africa is Africa. Ain't going nowhere until the rest of this world is going to go up in the flames. It's always going to be where it's at. Doesn't matter any type of political hearsay, wordplay, paperwork, colonialism, whatever. The actual land of Africa, the geographical existence of this entire continent, Africa, will remain until the rest of this world goes up in flames. The nation of Africa is there. It's promised. It is what it is. So let's say that you put your money together forever how long that you've been saving, or maybe you went into your 401k, maybe you went into your stocks, maybe you got some money from family, maybe you, however, you putting your things together, you getting your resources now, you got your stuff packed, family already know, the people that's going to be rocking with you, they rocking with you, y'all got y'all plane tickets, it's the morning of, still dark outside, you excited, you about to hit down and touch down to the motherland. First time you hop up on one of these airlines, you stand up in some, you know, halfy little long line, you know what I'm saying? It's still early enough that not a lot of people is up. You know what I mean? You go through customs. Well, not customs, but you know what I mean? You go through the security checkpoint, you know. They wind you down. You know, you good. Get up on the plane. There's a delay. Damn. Well, shit. I expected to be in Africa in X amount of time. X ain't going to be X no more. Shit's going to be Y amount of time now. Take off. Land somewhere out in the UK for a layover. Something wrong with the plane. Won't be able to get the layover plane that lands you in Africa in an hour. Instead, you have to wait for 10 hours. For the next plane that's going to be heading that route to pick you up. Damn, 10 hours later? Shit, bad enough. It was a delay back in the States. Now I'm over here in some foreign land I'm not prepared for, and I got to spend half a day out here just for me to go to where I was supposed to have been by now. Another delay. Africa ain't shit, people. They ain't go nowhere. The destination remains the destination. It's the journey that changes us. So what you going to do for 10 hours? You going to mumble and twiddle your thumbs? Be all highfalutin, hot air, and make your own existence and experience miserable because it's not what you expected. And then when you get to the destination, guess what? It's less than what you're able to actually appreciate because you've been harboring this nasty-ass energy that's been the preamble for your welcoming to this destination. The destination don't change. It's the journey that does. So once again, I ask, what is stillness to you? What does it mean to you? In that 10-hour window, what would stillness mean? It's taking a nap. You know, trying to sleep it away. Fidgeting with your phone, needing to call somebody because you need that, you know, bond. You need that connection. You in a whole world full of other people, other sentient minds, souls, spirits, various stories, various backgrounds, various places that they are in their lives. And it's funny that no matter how far we tend to go, we tend to cling back to the things that are most familiar with us instead of growing in new soil, in new places, in new ways. So what would you do with the 10 hours? Now, you know you're going to Africa. That hasn't changed. It's not like they said, oh, well, you know, you're screwed. You're out here in the UK now. Build a life. Good luck. You know you're going to Africa. You know you're going to your destination. It's just not when you wanted to go. And who are you? See, it's the part that bugs me out. You ain't a pilot. You don't got your wings. You don't got your own plane. You can't fly. You don't know the first thing about it. And yet and still, when something is outside of your control, you have the audacity to be vexed? For what? What would it do? What would it do? I work in retail. People come in with destinations every day. They come in with something that they're looking for, a.k.a. the destination. The journey, however, is what they come to me and people like me about because they need to find it. They need to know more information about it. They need to know if it's in inventory still. I help where I can. There are people that come in, and this is a small journey. This is small traveling, people. There are people that come in, attitude, stuck up, this, that, and third, thinking that this is going to make the process faster. For all my listeners out there, work in retail, you know. If you come in with an attitude, the last thing that's going to happen is having your service expedited. Because think about it like this. You come in with an attitude, already you're putting off the person that you're talking to. Now, instead of a person being in service mode, they're in defense mode, trying to figure some shit out. They're in fight or flight. You can't fight or else you lose your job. So now they're looking to finesse the situation in a way where they're either going to spin you off to somebody else, more waiting, or they're just going to hit you up with the 1-2 okie dokie, in which you're there for a reason that you think you are. The whole time, you're just like the dude that's sitting, or the dudette, sitting on your hands, waiting for somebody to take care of you because you came in there with that big get down bad energy. Gotta wait. Manager comes. The manager gotta sit down, negotiate with your ass. More waiting. Instead of you just swallowing your pride and coming in there humble and asking. Quick trivia, folks. Not even trivia, but, you know, quick tidbit, quick tip, you know what I'm saying? Quick guide, if you will. The most humblest of people that come into situations usually get the most far. They're not acting like they know everything. They're not off-putting the people that they're asking help for. They're coming in the spirit of humility, and they need something. Now, here's the other thing. The destination wants to be found. The destination wants to welcome you. Now, however the destination receives you is how the destination receives you. It don't give a hell. It don't, because it's the destination. But it will receive you. It wants to receive you. Same as in retail. We want the customers to come in. Disgruntled, depressed, happy, joyful, mad, sad, don't matter. As long as you're spending some bread, you're welcome. That's the secret to this. So if you're coming into this store to buy, you're already welcome. Welcome to the destination. You're here. You're here. Now we got to pinpoint you to where you need to go within the destination. The directory, if you will. I can get you there fast. And if we resonate, I might hit you with a discount. Who knows? I might help you out with something that you need. Add it alongside what it is that you came here for. It could be out of my hands. We might be able to find an item that was 80% off that I didn't even know existed. But just because you were on time and aligned and your spirit was right, it was here waiting for you. It was here waiting for you. Or you come in and waste 20 minutes to an hour of your life and either walk out with the item or not walk out with the item, depending on how you move in the situation and continue to have the audacity that you want to have regarding how people don't service you well and how it's always them, and there's no accountability in the measure. Track next by international DJ legend, Dr. Ngozi. Thank you.
our little dream castle, with every dream gone, is lonely and silent. The shades are all drawn, and my heart is heavy as I gaze upon a cottage for sale. The lawn we were proud of is waving in hay. Our beautiful garden has withered away. Where you planted roses, the weeds seem to say, a cottage for sale. From every single window, I see your face. But when I reach a window, there's an empty space. The keys in the mailbox, the same as before, but no one is waiting for me anymore. The end of our story is told on the door, a cottage for sale. From every single window, I see your face. But when I reach a window, there's an empty space. The keys in the mailbox, the same as before, but no one is waiting for me anymore. The end of our story is told on the door, a cottage for sale, a cottage for sale.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Soul Genius Shampoo, WBNN Beverly Nation. Live from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in, dial in, tune in, groove in, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join in the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time, Multimedia. And the question for the evening is, what does stillness mean to you? I appreciate so much that my mom taught me, now more than ever. You know, when you're young and you're going through your intermediate phase, as far as you're not quite a child, but you're not quite grown either. But in your head, oh, listen, you done paid your dues. In your head, you ready for it, whatever that it is. So you link up with friends, associates, in whatever social, institutionalized situation, circumstance that you might find yourself in. And that goes from anything to from a 9-to-5 to your schooling. You see other people moving differently. Hold on. Wait a minute. Whether it's, oh, okay, homie. You pop pills, you do this, you smoke, you drink, okay. Wonder why my people never talk about this. It opens up your mind. It does this, that, and the third. Or whether it's, man, this type of conversation, man. Conspiracies about this and the third. Why didn't my people ever talk to me about this? Or, man, for real, that's how you make money? Shit, this is quick money. How come my people don't talk to me about this? They never put me on to this. And sometimes we forget that our people were here before us. So a lot of the things that we were put onto, quote unquote, they already walked through their hellfire regarding that, you know. So find ourselves in these places, in these situations in which we take upon ourselves the teachings of the world. It's not bad, but it's to be done with discernment. But, you know, we don't know about that yet at this stage, at this intermediate stage. At this point, we're just looking for the things that's going to lead us to our destination, the things that's going to lead us to our desires, to our wants. So we pick up various things. Things that the people who loved us and raised us might not be all that much into, but because it's new for us, it's fascinating. And we feel that we're doing good. We think we're doing good. May even ostracize ourselves away from our loved ones, and life happens. And when life happens, it sits your ass down, i.e. COVID-19. When life happens, it sits your ass down, and you have to be still. What does it look like to you? I remember during the entire epidemic, just looking on social media and seeing how it affected the average person, it was depressing. I didn't want to go on social media, man. A lot of shit that a lot of people was going through. I was blessed to be one of those that the pandemic opened up a space in which, nah, I had to mend this relationship with my mom. We had to grow closer. It was just us now. It wasn't me going out to network. Shit, everybody was in quarantine. Nah, responsibilities, duty calls right now. And screaming too. And it was beautiful. It hurt like hell. It was beautiful. Beautiful. It was a beautiful struggle. Beautiful realizations afterwards, beautiful realities afterwards that came. Just being honest, being forward, humbling oneself, showing, embodying true change. Sometimes we lose ourselves in the sauce regarding the places that we want to go and the things that we want to achieve and manifest. And when you hear stillness, you think, I ain't got time for that. So the only thing that makes sense to you is to continue to move. And fatigue sits in. Confusion, bitterness, frustration. These negative energies that show themselves into maladies later on, into real life illnesses, real life sicknesses. Because we're no longer taking care of ourselves now. What we are chasing has taken up so much priority in our lives that love is on the back seat. Self-love, back seat. Genuine love and what it means, the responsibility of love. I'll say that again, because sometimes when people hear love, they just think it's all sunshine and rainbows. No, love comes with a responsibility. The responsibility of love. When that sits in, it's different. It's absolutely different. You learn how honoring loved ones during life and after death, the importance of it, how much it contributes to your peace, how much it adds to see a stature to where you're going, to being at one with God, with yourself, away from the dissonance, away from the noise, away from the rancor. Essential. Essential. There's things that I've picked up along the way as far as learning worldly things that I, A, had no business picking up, and B, now that I have hit such a transformative place in my life, I recognize that it's not worth anything. I spent so much time chasing behind things that I thought were valuable because within certain communities, yes, they were valuable. You know what I mean? It's like if you go to Japan and you have yen, you got money. Come back to the U.S. and try to use a yen at a corner store, at the bodega. We're going to look at you like you're crazy. It's worthless. It's paper. So, yeah, depending on where you go, the things that you learn and pick up, yeah, they'll be valuable in that section, in that circle, in that community. The minute you take it away from where it's supposed to be, to where you've always meant to be, you were always meant to be, if you didn't take the detours, you recognize exactly what it is that you have, that you've been spoiling over, that you've been bleeding over, crying about, sweating after. All these tools, so many tools. And listen, tools make you a builder if you use the tools and know how to use the tools. Otherwise, if you were just a person that likes to collect tools, you're going to mess around and be a hoarder. Because there's only going to be so much space that you have to hold the tools before it becomes completely unruly and chaotic. All these tools that you want to get, all these tools that you want to have under your neck and under your utility belt for the just in cases. The tools for your hobbyisms, the tools for, you know, the people that you kick it with that aren't on the same time as you are, on the same frequency as you are, but you want to be on the inside. You want to be in the in crowd with them. You want to still be able to relate. You want to still show that you can hang. Meanwhile, your entire house is being run over by tools. You can't even open the front door to your crib without that thing being so strength stubborn written that you got damn near kick open your door just for you to enter your own house, your own abode. You can't rest. You got tools all over your bed, which means that you're not even making up your bed. You come home at the end of the day and you throw all the tools down on the ground, clankety clank. Bed ain't made up. It's dirty. You ain't had the time for it. You out there getting more tools. Gotta get the tools. Go sleep, wake up, and the same tools is looking right at you. You ain't got no peace for yourself. All you got is tools. That's what you wanted, right? Tools. It's a lot of tools out here. Knowledge of self, moving with alignment, honoring love, both in the life and in this realm and in the life after, shows us that not every tool is valuable in our walk, in our progression. Some tools are meant for other people. Leave it there. Leave it there. There is an adage regarding a gardener and a warrior. And pardon me, hopefully I don't butcher this, but it goes something like this, that it would be better for the warrior to be in a garden in a time of war than for the gardener to be at war. Now, both of these individuals have tools. The gardener with her tools, the hoes, the trowels, the shovels, gloves, the buckets, pots, what have you, rakes, and the warrior with her tools, the knives, the shields, the armor, swords, and what have you. Now, these two tools are for specific places, for specific duties. The versatility, as far as the profession, is limited in one aspect. Because what does a gardener know about war unless the gardener was a warrior before? But see, if you don't have the bloodlust in your heart to continue to be the type of warrior that all you can get out of bed in the morning about is for the bloodlust and for killing somebody, you understand that the spectrum of life that you deal in has an opposite that needs to be respected as well. Which is why the warrior can become the gardener and still be ready for war, but understand that it takes a loving touch and a kindness and a selflessness to attend to growing and cultivating life. Track next by international DJ legend Dr. Ngozi.
There's rhythm down in Martinique Isle that has any minuet beat a mile for low-down quality, and they call it the Ebony Rhapsody. Instead of playing music like you do, they supply a little classical voodoo. They keep swinging that thing and singing that Ebony Rhapsody. It's got those licks, it's got those tricks that Mr. Litz would never recognize. It's got that beat, that tropic heat. They shake until they make the old thermometer rise. Oh, brother, yes, they all have bandanas. They go to market singing happy hosannas, swaying to that Ebony Rhapsody. That has any minuet beat a mile for low-down quality, and they call it the Ebony Rhapsody. Instead of playing music like you do, they supply a little classical voodoo. They keep swinging that thing while singing that Ebony Rhapsody. It's got those licks, it's got those tricks that Mr. Litz would never recognize. It's got that beat, that tropic heat. They shake until they make the old thermometer rise. Brother, yes, they all have bandanas. They go to market singing happy hosannas, swaying to that Ebony Rhapsody. Twisting to the Ebony Rhapsody.
Soul Genius Champloo on WBNN Beverly Nation. Call in to tune in right now. 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join in on the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And the question for the evening is, what does stillness look like to you? What does stillness mean to you? There are many schools of, let's say, metaphysical knowledge, the things that are just outside of the realm of the physical, you know, like saying you're exercising and things of that nature, that still tap into certain chemical responses of the mind, the brain, that still connect themselves to physiological responses of the body, all the same. Talking about fasting, talking about meditation, things that seemingly look like you're doing nothing on the outside, but there's so much that's being done on the inside. If I had to answer the question, that would be stillness for me. See, stillness for me represents what is most important to this person right here. What I'm doing for myself to be a better person. That the outside world might look and say, looks like he's doing nothing. Looks like he's chilling. It ain't for the outside world. Of course it's going to look like I'm chilling. Of course it's going to look like I'm doing nothing. I want it that way. I've never been the type to really brag about myself. I've never been the type to talk about myself too much. Because I don't like having egg on my face. I'd much rather have people who know me talk about me. Because I do the same for the people I rap with. So, oftentimes, I go through rapid changes in life. I might be gone for a year and have lived several years based upon the things that I experienced. So I come back and I'm different. There's people right now who are completely 180 by the fact that I'm married and I have a child. I don't put nothing on social medias. I'm not here to brag about that. That shit don't do nothing for me. That don't put no diapers on my baby backside, and I don't put no food on my family table. So why am I doing it? I like to keep my head low and work. The people that acknowledge me going to acknowledge the fact that I'm genuinely here for the reasons that I'm here for. And you're going to know that it's genuine work being done. But for right now, we're going to take it to the lines. And we're going to introduce and invite somebody with a prestigious and prodigious mind. Caller number one, if you're ever so inclined, jump out of the queue and tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, peace. And abundant divine blessings. How you doing tonight, Almighty?
The magic man himself. How you doing, brother? I'm feeling lovely, man. How are you?
Yes, indeed you are. And I'm telling you, you know, the more you share your testimonial and the divine relationship that you had with your mother and the relationship that your mother had with you, in comparison, you know, it reminds me a lot of myself as well, because I am also, this is key, and those who have the ears to hear, they would catch it. Me, myself, as a traveling man, who's also a Ma's son, right, you ask that question, what does stillness mean? You know, it's such a long story, but I'm gonna touch the highlights of it. I found out personally what it means because I was awoken out of my sleep many times throughout my life, but a year before my mother made her transition. And I was caught in between a futuristic, and you would have to go through some of my photos. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it there so you can see it. So when I woke up, I was there in front of my mother, who was laying in a sarcophagus. Over here, they call it a cross. And if you look at the ancients, the way that they crossed the poles, meaning their wrists were touched, crossing their body. And I was in front of her, and I placed a 24-karat master key. Now, there's different forms of onks that the ancients used to carry, but the master key is the one that had the Zed cane. You have to look at it. It's got the Zed cane. It's got all of these symbols within it that makes it. It's got the horns of Hethor. A lot of people say Hatha, you know, all within it. That one, they call it an ankh, but this particular ankh is a master key. So anyway, it disturbed me because when I placed this master key in between her wrists, right, and keep in mind the ankh, if a lot of people didn't know, is the key that unlocks the door to the next life. Okay? That's the way, you know, we as the ancients used to describe it, right? So when I did that, she had the opening of the eye ceremony, meaning her eyes that once was closed came open, and then my eyes came open. Now keep in mind, it was a year before she made a transition. So speed it up. She, you know, diabetes, and I think I mentioned that a time or two on one of your previous shows, that that's what was used to take her from this world into the next. So now, up to maybe a week or so, no more than 2 weeks before she made a transition, she suffered a stroke so bad to the point where she wasn't supposed to talk anymore. So now, the last time I saw her was on Mother's Day of 2009, right? The last time I saw her before she made a transition. Now, when I saw her, I'm in the room, and she was being still, laying within the bed of this hospital, just me and her, right? So somewhere between crying and I was studying for a test, you know, to get my insurance license at the time. So anyway, crying myself to sleep, she said, and keep in mind, the stroke affected her talking ability, so she wasn't supposed to talk. So she used to call me Beat. She said, Beat, wake up. So I wake up and I'm looking at her. First of all, she wasn't supposed to be talking. So now I'm wiping my eyes. I'm like, and she said, I tell you what, why don't you come over here and lay down where I'm at, and I'm going to go sit over there where you at. And I'm like, you know, now I'm looking at her, right? Then she saw her mother. She ended up seeing her father. And she's pointing. Now, I can't see what she sees, but she saw them. I shared all of that because I wanted to go full circle with your question tonight, because I know personally that when things shut down on this side, things come alive on that side. I know that personally. Okay? That's why I can't stress enough, for well over 38 years, it was at the point of stillness. This is going back to 1991. It's when I allowed my inner me, the real me, to come forth. And that's why I know me so well. So anyway, I know I went full circle with it, but I had to do that. Thank you so much for your patience. I'm also a host of We Will Aware You, My Next Advancement, No More Time for Lessons, where we will be speaking about a reason and a time to kill, saving our children. That's 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here on WBNN. Love you, brother.
Love you too, Hooney. Love you too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Hooney Bakatoon. You heard him. Make sure that y'all tune in to We Will Aware You. You heard the date. The brother is an experienced, learned, well-traveled, well-versed brother that I highly respect. And you ain't taking enough time, brother. You know what I'm saying? You know, if this was a different type of platform, we could be talking about this for real. But I do appreciate and love you for divulging what you divulged about your beautiful relationship with your mom and the revelations that was given to you in the time in which she was preparing for the transition up until the part that God called her back home. Ladies and gentlemen, that was International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, broadcasting lifetime achiever. Say that five times fast. Huni Bakatun. Now, before we get into some more grooves by the great curator, the Dr. DJ himself, we have caller two up in the queue that's ready to groove and do exactly what he needs to do, or she. So please come through with what you knew.
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Bulls Brothers. Represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your little cousin got gas out with a picture of high-ass Homer Simpson on the apes. What's good?
What up with you, God? Peace. What's going on with you?
Yo, everything is gracious out here, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? I got the helicopter earphones on, you know what I'm saying, while I'm swooping. You know what I mean? So I'm listening in. What's good, man? Everything is lovely tonight, you know what I'm saying? I hear the jury moving around on the table. You feel me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now that we have you, though, brother, you know, you another mind that I highly respect on this here nation, this Beverly Nation, this WBNN. I appreciate you. So, you know, if you could just break down some gems and just add it to the jewelry that we are wearing, you know what I mean? Put a little necklace together, if you don't mind, if you have a little bit of time. What does stillness mean to you? When you hear stillness, what does that represent? How does that resonate with you?
Well, stillness, for one, when I hear it, you know what I'm saying, sometimes it could be this. Depend on who it's coming from and who's delivering this. You know what I'm saying? Stillness might be somebody laying behind a dumpster, if you understand what I'm saying to you. Now, The whole thing about it is stillness in this category, in this phrase of a category, and the substance in which I recognize it in, you know what I'm saying? You know, it all depends on how patient and persevering an individual is based on how still they are, whether or not they feel as though this is a sense of stillness or not, depends on how patient you are before you consider a situation being in stillness, I would say first. You know what I'm saying? However, you know, stillness, if we're looking at stillness from a positive end, you know what I'm saying? You know, of course, that means that's a person being sturdy on the situation, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? Now, if you got to press the pause button on a situation, not by choice, you know what I mean? This is based on patience and perseverance. You dig what I'm saying? Whether you consider it to be moving slow, or is it something that you're stuck? Is stillness being stuck to you? You see what I'm saying? Or stillness being at your destination, being sturdy on your destination once you get there. You know what I mean? You know, so it all depends on, again, the measurement of how patient and persevering an individual could possibly be in encountering anything upon their way or on their journey, as we quote upon the subject. You know what I mean? You know, again, destination is a destination. What makes the journey is this: you might have missed the damn exit. Where you might gotta do a extra half hour or so of driving. You know what I mean? Destination's still there. You know what I'm saying? However, is if you're paying attention to the dot where you are and where the destination is, and you calculating how still that dot is, then that all depends again on how patient and perseverant you are, what before you consider being still or just moving slowly. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got to recognize it the correct way here. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm judging it. You know what I'm saying? You know, of course, we know stillness is the sense of non-movement, of course. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't want nothing to move. That's playing Tetris, damn it. I don't need to play Tetris with anything. You hear me?
That's a fact.
Certain things I need to stay still. Certain things I need to move. You feel me? That all depends on what it is, how much movement we need, how much movement we don't need. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
What you think?
And if you know, you know. For the people that are listening right now, the brother is dropping some major jewelry right now. Don't hang it on your neck for too long. You might get a cramp. You know what I'm saying? But before anything, brother, I appreciate you. I love you, brother. Could you please let the people know when the next time they can hear you and tune in so that they can get some jewelry for their baskets, head home, and do some DIY projects?
This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to calculate it on the algorithms of stillness, you know what I'm saying, where if you want to pay attention to it today, right, we still on it today. But if we're going to wait till the next time, we're going to see how still it is by moving that slow. Whether it's still or moving slow, it'll be next month from the day today after tomorrow, which was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? If you're paying attention to that part of it. You know what I'm saying? That's clever. One, you know what I mean? One half of the Booze Brothers representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where your side chick that made up a fake IG page so she could stalk your baby mom. Check your satellite.
Hey, don't be that person neither, man. Don't be that person neither. Make sure that you understand there's only one line when it comes to the portal that makes up the sign of the golden ratio, a.k.a. the divine proportion. Don't go ahead putting too many phalluses in one parallel in one portal now. You're going to mess it up. It ain't going to be the golden ratio anymore. Instead, it's going to be pinstripes in a circle. Stop playing. You did. But now, we're going to turn things over to Dr. DJ Legend, Dr. Ngozi.
He'll be on December 20th, right before, you know what I mean, the holiday season. You know, what we always say, Clevember, right? And he'll be ready for you after Orny Honors next Tuesday night. Hey, Nat King Cole, what?
When my sugar walks down the street, all the little birdies go tweet, tweet, tweet. And in the evening when the sun goes down, it's never dark when she's around. She's so affectionate, and I'll say this, that when she kisses me, I sure stay kissed. 'Cause when my sugar walks down the street, the little birdies go tweet, tweet, tweet.
The lovely stylings of Dr. DJ Ngozi Olatsky, Olad only on WBNN, Beverly Nation. Soul Genius Shampoo calling the tuning live from Lagos, Nigeria, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join in the conversation. And tonight's question is how does stillness look like to you? What does stillness mean to you? Now, we've already been blessed with two great minds from this here Beverly Nation. As we continue to move and groove on to Caller number three, we ask that you come through with some gems that we can receive. So before you speak, please bless us so that we may remain humble and meek.
Hello, Daddy. This is Tiana Speaks. How are you tonight?
Oh, lovely, Tiana. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I just appreciate you always dropping so many gems on your show and just, you know, sharing just your mind with the world. I just want to let you know I appreciate that. I wanted to comment on something you said, but I'll answer your question first. As far as stillness is when God can talk to you and you, a lot of things are revealed. You know, a lot of times, it just, for me personally, like in the shower when everything's quiet, so much information comes to me, like what I need to be doing, what things are going on with the people who are in my circle around me. It's like, you know, God is just like downloading information to me. But when you are quiet and when you can think, you know, and things can, you get a clearer picture of your life. You get a clearer picture of your journey and where you're going. And that is what stillness is to me. And it's also time for you to be able to receive peace within your soul, your mind, your heart when you're still. And you just be able to relax yourself from the stresses of the world. That's what stillness is to me.
Beautiful.
I wanted to comment on the thing you said about utilizing tools. And I was just thinking as you were saying that, and sometimes, like, my mind goes 20 different directions. And I was thinking, and I want to ask you a question. This is only a comment. Sometimes I think we're given tools, you know, in the sense of we're given information to utilize to progress in life. And sometimes that tool could be, like, for a woman, it could be, you know, meeting a great man that's going to elevate her and they can elevate each other. And then sometimes that tool could be a woman who can elevate that man. And then sometimes it could be a friend who gives you one piece of vital information for your life that changes your whole entire outlook. I know for me, I have a friend who passed away a couple of years ago who said one thing to me. And I asked him a question, and he gave me an answer that changed my life forever on how I view people, and I'm able to see things that I never saw before by one piece of information he gave me. And it was definitely very handy in, like, the last couple of weeks, and he's no longer living. So you can actually change somebody's, like, world with just by one sentence. So what I want to ask you is, the people, what do you think about the people who have tools that maybe are in the form of a great man, a great woman, a friend, or even a family member, or just somebody being supportive, or even a stranger who sees something from the outside and, you know, gives and drops great gems, and the people who do not receive them. What would you want to say to them, who people who are always trying to do everything on their own and never let anyone in, any information, outside information, in their brain? And they only utilize what they've known from point A to where they're at now, and they're not at point B yet, but they will not, they keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And, like, what would you say to those people?
That's a great question. And to be completely honest, it wouldn't be too much I could say before failure would reach up with them and give them the answer that they've been looking for. You know, time and time again, and throughout every course and throughout every arc of life, we've been shown, first of all, we understand ourselves as creatures, as creations from the Creator, to be social creatures. We are social creations. We thrive on our interactivity. We thrive on our dynamic with another person. We thrive on the differences that differentiate us as far as a means to be able to galvanize in a scale that's larger than just any individual sum of the parts, as it regards itself to society, or as it regards itself to building, as it regards itself to following dreams, achievements, goals, or what have you. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? there's people, and the funny thing is, while you were talking, you know, I was thinking about tools and informal information, and it came to me just like I read and I watch various things that just, you know, stimulate my mind. And there's just like this tribe in the world. There's this tribe in the world that, you know, they wear white and they consume blood. And that's their means of being able to achieve spiritual alignment and spiritual and enlightenment. Then there's something, you know, there's other tribes and there's other people in the world who they resort to going off into, you know, the mountains and just, you know, stillness, silent vows, and just fasting. And they receive their forms of spiritual enlightenment through that as well. Mm-hmm. So first, you have to recognize what it is for yourself. You know what I mean? It's easy to get misled by somebody who sees something in you and they think they know you based upon what they see. So if you don't know yourself, you're going to be misled the quickest, because somebody's going to say something about you or about what they see, and it's going to make you think, oh, that's me. If you don't know yourself, you're going to take the wrong type of information from somebody on the outside of you recognizing something, and that person might not even have the vocabulary to express what it is that they want to really say, but with the vocabulary that they have at that moment, they're giving what they can, you know? A brother of mine said one of the illest things to me. He said it changed my life, something real simple. He said, eat the meat, leave the bones, you know? It's essential for us to be able to take information to help to transform not only our lives, but to transform the lives of those around us to make everything as better as we can. Yes, but there's information, once again, in the same parallel of the tools. There's information that we have no reason, you know, just being in the world of. What does it do for us? You know, I have no want. I have no desire to consume blood for fun. For leisure. I don't care if it leads to a certain level of spiritual enlightenment. Here's the thing, people. Spiritual enlightenment has many paths. Spiritual enlightenment is not a monolithic path. You can starve yourself and get spiritual enlightenment, or you can eat all the healthiest grains and things of that of the world and gain spiritual enlightenment. You can kill and gain spiritual enlightenment. It's different ways to achieve spiritual enlightenment. There's a negative aspect and there's a positive aspect to being able to see things beyond the reach of the physical realm. But what is it to you? Where do you know yourself to be? I don't need to consume blood in order for me to reach certain enlightenment. So I don't need information regarding what it does for me. I don't care. You know what I mean?
I hope I answered that totally. The question. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. You really have to know yourself and, you know, people and understand where people are coming from when they do give you information, because some things are purposely misleading because they don't like the path you're on and they want to take you off that path. And some people may come from a genuine place, but they really don't know you. So, like, that part, I definitely, like, I think about that a lot. Absolutely think about that part a lot. My show will be December 6th, Yonasi Para Marte, and my other show will be December 15th, 9:30 p.m. Please don't miss it, The Power of Thoughts. And again, I am Tiana Speaks, and thank you, Jenny, for just always what you do. And I like when you and Clev go back and forth. Like, you guys are, like, great together.
Word. Thank you very much, Tiana Speaks. You are appreciated. You are welcome anytime on this platform. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all heard. Y'all know what time it is, The Power of Thought. Make sure that y'all tune in to the next time that she's going to grace and bless y'all eardrums with some of the melodies and the gems that she has arranged and perfect arrangement for your composition and for your needs as far as the musical tastes of intellectuality. Now, we have come to the end of this program and segment. I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank every single listener out there who's taking the time to sit down with us, kick it with us, to listen to us, and to engage with us, whether you called in or not. You could have had your own internal dialogue in your mind, and I appreciate you for joining in on the forum. And now, Ngozi time.
I gave you my arms, I gave you my lips, I gave you my heart on a silver plate. I guess I gave you too much too soon, and you gave me too little too late. I used to long for you to say those words I wanted to hear. Now you say you feel that way, but you are much too late, my dear. I'm saying goodbye, I'm telling you why. I found a new love, 'cause I couldn't wait. I guess I loved you too much too soon, and you loved me too little too late. I'm telling you why. I found a new love, 'cause I couldn't wait. I guess I love you too much too soon, and you love me too little too late. Love me too little, too late.
On the great Wurlitzer in the '50s, no one played that Wurlitzer like Ray Charles and the great King Cole. The outstanding man. We love him. And a lot of times he's not appreciated. So I appreciate him, the great lifetime achiever, to the Grammy Academy. The wonderful Nat King Cole tonight. And, of course, tomorrow night we come back on these, stations with a young lady that's always prepared. Her name is Mo Garvin and Breaking the Silence. 9:30 Eastern, standard time on the one and only Beverly Nation, of course. WNS Advertising, Tony Gossier Time, Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X. All I've done is label Gossier on Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, olaydaylay, that goes with my and gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Dr. Ola Dudley Malay, and Gossier, saying goodnight, good luck to all the folks out there at RF Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And, of course, stay tuned for Tuesday, our most sacred night. Annual honors at ONE, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. We honor the people that mean so much to us. And now back to the class of 2023, the wonderful Jetty 8 track.
Thank you. Thank you to the listeners. Thank you to the hosts. Thank you to the DJ, the doctor, commissioner. Thank you to the great minds out there who tuned in. Come on, blocker.
5 o'clock.
All right. Look, I'm sorry. My big brother over here tripping and dropping things around here, but I just want to send my love to y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. Y'all tune in the next time where we going to grace this great Beverly Nation, WBNN, with the next installment of Soul Genius Shampoo. Until then, much love and good night.